We are ready, everybody. Screw Man here, the Four Outdoors. We just got done listening to
Angel Vale.
On the Homegrown Show with our buddy Brandon right behind the glass there. I'll tell you what. Like everybody, I think you do it on purpose, Brandon. I think you only bring pretty girls in here.
I definitely favor them. I would say probably. Yeah, no.
I think singing is second, but this time you hit a home run on both sides.
No, I'm an artist comes first kind of person, you know, and
a purist.
That's right. It's all about the music.
That's beautiful.
So no, she's really good. Really,
man,
really good.
I loved it. And having the whole band live in studio like that was so great. Like,
that's cool.
We usually have a more stripped down kind of performance, and this really brought the energy. So that was
great.
Who
do you have next week? Do you know yet?
Hold on, let me take a look. It's Mitch Gordon and Mark Stone are coming up in the next 2 weeks, and Brian Powers is going to be man in the ship for those two. I'll be here for you guys. But I believe it's Mark Stone next week and then Mitch Gordon the week after.
And you have told me more than once that Mark Stone is one of your favorites. You think, man, he's a genius, kind of.
I love that guy. Yeah. He's my Bob FM function buddy. I mean, anytime there's any sort of Bob, you know, thing, he's there. And, you know, it's always nice to see a familiar face and somebody to sit down and hang out with. So, yes, next week is Mitch Gordon and then Mark Stone the week after.
I've seen them both. I'll tell you what, they're not nearly as pretty as Angel Vale by any means.
I like Mitch Gordon, though. He's got a kind of a George Strait vibe to me. He does. Like, he's got this fun, kind of like a very kind of loose and chill sort of smile while he's playing. It's great. Mitch Gordon's good stuff.
You're scaring me right now. Hey, I'll tell you what, Stu, I'm in here. Mark's next, in the studio with me. I'm Mark Lukey and Sam Oftedall. Four Outdoorsmen here every Sunday night. I'm Bob at 6 o'clock. Pretty blessed, boy. And it's been a hot couple of days.
It's been hot.
Yeah.
It's been very hot.
But it's been fun. We were on the water like you. We were at our cabin in Wisconsin. And, boy, four grandkids at the same time for 2.5 days is a lot. For me, it's a lot. You know, I've done my share, and I thought, okay. And I actually told the kids at one time, we're on the pontoon, and they're fighting about something. I love all my grandkids. We're blessed. I know that. But I said, you know what, kids? I mean this. And Joe and Rochelle were there on the boat with us. I said, you're making it really, really difficult for me to think about having you guys here for 2 or 3 days next year. I'm having a hard time with this.
Way to be blunt about
I just, I'm not sure this is fair to me. You know?
I don't know if I want to see you guys anymore.
So what you're saying is Kirsten and I are never invited.
Yeah, you got duct tape for the kids, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you're invited, pal. But
just get his kids next to a pool and they'll just float for 3 hours.
Yeah. No, but it was fun. So Independence Day, we're very blessed. Yep. Congratulations to the whole world for being here, and we made it. And we're free. We can do pretty much what you want.
We are free.
Unless it comes to wearing a mask.
Did you see the video of all like the fireworks in defiance in California?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. So awesome. Aerial footage of just, as far as the eye could see, fireworks. They were like, you know, the 4th of July has been canceled. And America was like, no, it hasn't.
Yeah. Exactly. I did see that. So how was your weekend? You guys were both busy, I suppose, with family?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I went to the Turtle Lake area, my cousin's cabin I'm renting, had a great time, had my in-laws up for the weekend, and had my brother-in-law and his family on Saturday. A lot of boating, a lot of tubing. Took a while to convince my kids to go tubing, but they did it, and they had a great time. Caught a lot of fish, too, man. Yeah. It was hot, but we caught some fish.
Did you clean some fish?
I did clean some fish. We made some fish for lunch. Interesting thing happened. This has never happened to me before. I was fishing with Nick on the dock. Little tiny jigs for bluegills. And as many dads know, you spend a lot of time, you know, unwrapping tangles and tying lines and stuff when you're fishing with the little ones. It's all part of the gig. And so anyway, I set my pole down. I think I actually was untangling from a tree somewhere. And I looked over and my brand new fishing rod was not on the dock. I bought it literally a month ago because I gave Nick my old one. And I'm like, where is my rod? And they're like, it fell in the water. I'm like, who kicked it in the water? You know what I mean? I'm like, what happened? And so I walk over to the dock. I look and I see it. I see my rod in the water and it's moving and it's going towards the deep water.
Did you jump in?
I jumped in.
Attaboy! Yeah.
So I jumped in and grabbed it. Obviously, a northerner or something took it. That's never happened to me where it pulled it off the dock. And it was actually, I could see it moving on the
lake bottom. Was your jig gone?
Yeah, I bit it off. It tangled up and bit off, so I did not catch the fish.
I'll tell you what. See, this is radio. Sam or I would have expounded on that story and brought in about a 7-pound northern or something like that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Only truth
just
here.
His kid was there. No one's going to tell otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's a funny. I saw on Facebook this week, I showed my dad, actually, last week at Father's Day is the guy's bass fishing on his boat and sets the hook. You can tell it's a, you know, a huge largemouth bass. Gets to about 3 feet away, and you know he does the old bass fisherman like pickup. Yeah. Line snaps. He literally jumps in, and then like 5 seconds later, he's got a GoPro or something on his boat. Gets back on his boat and he's holding this huge fish.
What?
He's like, "Did you see that? Did you see that?" He jumped in the water.
He grabbed the line.
And he got the fish.
Oh, did he grab the line or just grab the fish
like,
by the mouth?
No, he like full on like spear out of a tree. He jumped on this fish and he got it. And it was a giant, I'll send it to you guys. It was a giant largemouth. We'll put it on the page.
Does that count as a caught fish?
I think so.
Probably in a tournament, no.
No. Probably in the law, no, either. I don't think you can.
Thank God I didn't say his name.
Well, we have Scotty Merwin on as our guest, our first guest, the only guest right now for the night. It's about 6:20. We'll ask Scotty that question.
Yeah.
Is that a legal catch or not?
It was fun to watch.
There's no way that's legal in a tournament. But
hey, speaking about
legality. They won't even let you use a net, right? That's why they always do that thing.
You have to land them, and if it touches the boat, it's like a two-minute penalty.
We need to learn more about bass tournaments. I don't really know much about them. I just see lots of boats on the water all the time, and it annoys me.
Lots of big boats.
Yeah.
A lot of fishing rods.
Small boats with giant engines.
300-horse engines. Speaking about legalities, I felt a little bit like Mark Lukey here yesterday, because we went out to take all the kids out to go to the water ski show and then go swimming ourselves, stop in the middle and dive off and whatnot. And there's four kids, and they could all swim really well. And the youngest one's probably 9, maybe something like maybe 10. And it's the older you get, the more cautious you get and anxious you get, and I'm watching these kids, and I have my life jacket on just in case I had to jump in, and they're in 20 feet of water, not even thinking twice about it, and I was not feeling real comfortable, but it just, everything went fine until the DNR shows up and they check us for life jackets. Oh. And we had plenty, but we didn't have
a throwable.
We had two throwables, but we did not have a full life jacket for every person. You have to have one for every person, and throwables you should have as well. But so we had 7 life jackets that you zip up and a couple of throwables, but a throwable does not count. You have to have one for every person. So they were nice about it, you know, and they let us go back to our cabin and get a.
They follow you back there?
No. But we saw them 2 more times on the chain as we're doing our thing. But I said, they wanted to tag me. I said, this is Strew Man. Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Are
you wearing the shirt?
Yeah.
Did they see the abs?
They saw the abs.
Okay.
They're probably just checking to see how many drinks you had that day. Probably.
No, we just started.
So that happened to me in Cabotogama maybe three years ago, where me, my dad, my brother, and I think my uncle were out there. We were fishing on a pontoon. A former friend of mine, we used his place all the time. He had a pontoon. We were maybe 300 yards from his dock. And up there, it's, you know, the Voyager National Park, so it's rangers. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, 7 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, we see this boat coming right for us, and I'm like, man, this is weird. Sure enough, it was a guy and a gal. They pulled right up, walked right onto our pontoon.
They don't have to knock or something?
Yeah. I asked for a warrant.
Yeah.
No, they asked for all the – and we didn't have a throwable. I had, like, 4 extra – life jackets. We didn't have a throwable, and the lady wanted to write us up, and I said, listen, this is my buddy's boat, this is my buddy's cabin, you can actually see it right there, and I said, I will go, there's like a big, you know, locker on the dock, I'll grab one. And she was like, no, I think we need to write you a ticket. And the guy was like, no, we're good. And then she followed us all the way, and I like showed her when I got to the dock, got in the boat, and then they took off. But I was like, geez, like, We didn't even have any fish in the live well. There was no alcohol on the boat. It was just like, yikes.
About 40 years ago, can't be 40 because I've only been married 37, probably 35 years ago, we went up to, wasn't Cabotogama, I'm not even sure exactly where it was, but it was in that area, to fish opener. Bunch of guys from Fisher Nut Company, where Diana and I met, where we worked, and they do this every year. And you want to come along? Dennis Trudeau is one of the guys, funnier than heck. And Diana likes Dennis Trudeau a lot. Anyway, so we go up there, and we're going to go fishing, and they always go midnight. We talked about guys going at midnight, you know.
Midnight's for sleeping.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is. Well, so anyway, we go out there midnight, and of course, we're out there about 1:45 midnight, and we're fishing illegally before midnight, you know, not catching anything. All of a sudden, at 12 o'clock or 5 to 12, here comes the DNR, and right out of the middle of nowhere, and we had just, like, small jigs on, so we told them we're fishing for crappies, whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have my license on me. And the same thing, we could see the cabin where maybe a couple hundred yards, and they followed us right to the cabin as well at 12:30 in the morning to get my license. And
but you did have a license.
I did it. Come on, I don't break the law. I don't break the law like that.
That was before you could just show them on your cell phone, kind of deal.
I suppose, yeah, before I had a cell phone. But
was there a lot of boats this weekend out by you guys?
It was just jammed. Just jammed.
We were at just over at my aunt and uncle's in Brooklyn Park on Eagle Lake, right off of 169 there. I could not believe the boat traffic.
Yeah.
Like, if I was on a boat out there, it was like I would be a nervous wreck, because then you got jet skis flying by.
These kids are jumping off of our pontoon in the middle of the – we're on a chain of six lakes, and they jump off and swim about 10, 15 feet away from the boat. I said, get your butts back in here.
Yeah.
There's people going by all the time. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
And anyway, Mark's been on that chain a couple of times with us, and it's a fun, fun chain. And there's one area on Pekegama Lake that is – probably 100 yard, about the size of a football field, that is only 3 feet deep, and it's right in the middle of the lake. And all the locals and tourists park there. They tie their boats up. They get together. They throw frisbees and all of that. And it looks like they're walking on water. There had to be 75 boats in this area, not more than two football fields, all crammed together. And you know, they're
I couldn't do it.
Standing in the water, having a good time, and all that. You know, it's cool, but it was. We didn't do that.
You know what I saw that was interesting? There was, on the lake I was at, there was, you know, hundreds of pontoons, and they all know each other. Obviously, it's a smaller lake, and they all go around in circles, and they have American flag stuff, and, like, they give trophies to whoever has the most Americana. Like, they had George Washington wigs on and everything. It was pretty fun. Anyway, I saw a pontoon boat full of people, and they all had masks on. It was, like, it was 95 degrees. And I don't know if it was a joke or not, but I was like, it was just like, what? Like, they were all sitting there with masks on. I'm like,
that's like for the COVID.
Yeah. Well, obviously, but I don't know. I don't know if it was a joke or not, but I don't think it was.
I hope it was a joke.
They must have been from Illinois or
something. Did you see that there was a Facebook page? I sent Brandon a good Facebook posting about a song about this, but there was a Facebook posting today, maybe yesterday, about the question was, are the masks going to come off when the vaccine is discovered, or when Trump is elected? What's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
When's that going to happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Hey, Brandon.
That's about it.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Oh, easy. Whoa. Turned so quick, his headphones flew off.
I was just wrapping up with my videographer, Scotty, there.
All right. Now, listen, we have 3 minutes before break. Let's do our little deal, all right?
So, okay.
I'll wait for your cue.
Mark and Sam.
What
love
is this back
this.
To back to back weeks of struisms?
Yeah, no,
like,
I'm
I got
for,
this plan.
I'll wait for your cue, all right?
Well, he doesn't have a tape recorder, so.
Now I'm giving you the cue at 3 minutes. Okay. Gotcha.
All right. You're the man.
He'll give you the cue, or you give him the cue, and then he'll give
and
you the cue.
And then he gives
back.
Me the cue to do the
he
thing.
He needs the cue for the cue. Speaking of cue.
You were
there
we go one, we go all.
And you were talking about the social distancing thing, and I don't understand who makes these decisions and how they make them, because they have a huge, huge flea market that is big in Shatek on the 4th of July weekend, and there's thousands of people. You know how they have those booths every 5 feet and people walk? You just can't get away from anybody. They allowed that, but they did not allow the car show, which is on the same part of the field. No car show, no parade. But the flea market, I don't understand why. I would rather go to the car show. You're not 15 feet. I mean,
right.
It's crazy.
But maybe that's why, because elderly people would probably go to the car show, and that's
oh,
who
no.
they're concerned about.
You been to a flea market?
Valid point. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. But they also paid, I think, about $2,000 or $3,000 to have the flyover. That's my highlight of the entire 4th of July. They have three planes. three guys rebuilt them years ago, and World War II planes. They go to all the small towns over the parade route and do their three flyovers and with the smoke and all that. It's just really emotional. But there's no parade or anything, and they still had the flyover. I don't know why. And they had to pay them whatever it was. I think it was $2,500.
Those flyovers, it's like hearing bagpipes at a funeral. Every time you see those flyovers, I get goosebumps, and it's just amazing.
Did you, speaking of bagpipes at a funeral, did you see the special about Payne Stewart, when Payne Stewart got killed in the plane crash? Payne Stewart's a golfer. And look it up.
He died?
Payne Stewart?
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
I just remember he had the best pants in the game, right?
He was the man. He was the stylish guy back then. But anyway, he was coming from a golf tournament in Florida to someplace else, and in a private plane, four people in it, whatever, and gas, whatever, got loose inside the airplane, and everyone died. Everyone passed out, and they had to guide this airplane until it ran out of gas and crashed. And if they thought it was going to crash in a populated area, they're going to take it down. So they just had two airplanes on the side, you know, just kind of keeping tabs on it and seeing which way. There was no control. It was just going, and it crashed, I think, in North Dakota. But he died. So anyway, Payne Stewart, wait till you see the, look it up, wait till you see the ceremony on the golf course with Payne Stewart and bagpipes. It is so eerie and so emotional because by chance, it was a very, very misty day, and the bagpipe guy is doing his thing, and there's a lot of people there, and they show the bagpipe guy walking into the fog, and all you see is his footprints. It is really something. Oh, man. All right, Brandon, I think it's time, right?
I was just about to give you the signal.
Hey, this is we did a promo for the our show. I haven't heard it on the air live yet, but I want Brandon to play this promo because the whole world's got to hear this promo. I think it's kind of fun. Go ahead, Brandon.
All right, this is the promo.
Yeah. Hey, Strewman here.
Mark
and Sam from the Four Outdoorsmen.
Every Sunday at 6, we talk about hunting and fishing and pretty much anything outdoors.
Need some tips on how to catch your limit of walleyes? We interview some of the biggest names who can answer all of your questions.
And if you miss us live on Sunday nights, you can always check out our podcast episodes on the4outdoorsmen.com.
Laugh a little, learn a lot on the Four Outdoorsmen. Now,
professional.
That's good.
Now, we did that in one take. Was it one take?
It was four takes.
Four takes? Well, Brandon, you got anything we screwed up, you think?
You guys screwing up? I find that hard to believe.
A lot on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Well, we laughed. Let's see what we got here.
We laughed,
take
man.
Take three.
Take three, yeah, it's Mark. Hey, Strewman here.
Mark.
And Sam from the Four Outdoorsmen.
Every Sunday at 6, we talk about hunting and fishing and pretty much anything outdoors.
Need some tips on how to catch your limit of walleyes?
Stop, ready? Hey, Strewman here.
Mark.
And Sam from the Four Outdoorsmen.
Every Sunday, we talk about hunting and fishing and pretty much anything outdoors.
Need some tips on how to catch your limit of walleyes? We interview some of the biggest names who can answer all of your questions.
And if you miss us at live on Sunday nights, you can always check out our podcast episodes on the4outdoorsmen.com.
Laugh a little,
at
live on learn Sunday a lot night. On the Four Outdoorsmen, blah, and thank you. Blah, 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 blah. We are not professionals.
Wait,
hey,
wait.
Got one more?
You did.
This is where Stu told me I screwed up.
It's just the back and forth is throwing me off.
Take four.
Hey, Strewman here.
Sam from the Four Outdoors.
That's funny, man.
That's good stuff. This one, you guys pretty much nail it. So
that's funny.
Well, you guys, I'm in the biz, as they say, like Brandon. And
thanks for the air quotes.
That happens, you know.
Hey, Brandon, after the last one we did, that we did it properly, Mark, he says, that's a wrap or something like
that.
Yeah. That's a wrap.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll be right back in a few minutes with, we're not ready, huh? Scotty Merwin?
No, we can take a break. You didn't give me a number. I'll get him when we're in the commercial here. Right. So go ahead and.
You didn't leave me any time to talk smack about golf. We're doing that later.
We'll do it when.
Third segment.
We'll do it when Scotty comes on. Be right back with Scotty Merwin of Lake Wasikas Guide Service.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
If you need a northern Minnesota family vacation, then Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park just might be it. Balsam Beach is the exclusive resort on the 2,500 pristine acres of Lake Plantagenet, with not only superb fishing, but plenty of family activities as well. Water sports, camping, hiking, everything is dedicated to your family. And Patty and Clint were awarded Resorters of the Year in 2019. It's time to find out why. Balsam Beach, a wonderful place with wonderful people.
Hey, it's Jeff Jones from your No Repeat Workday, and I want you to come hunting with me. I've got a hunt that won't trigger guilt from your boss or from your other half. Reach for Resources Cackle and Spur Charity Pheasant Hunt takes place Wednesday, September 30th at both Sandpine Pheasants and Gold Meadows Hunting Reserve. The day includes 5 birds per person, cleaned and packaged, catered lunch, a guide with 2 dogs, and many prizes, including 11 guns. Register at reachforresources.org. That's reachforresources.org.
Hey, Bob Country, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life. And guess what? Summer has not been canceled. Fishing for Life has all kinds of events for you and your family. We've got our fishing day camps. Moms, if you've got kids that need to get busy Monday through Friday, join one of our day camps. You drop them off at the Metro Lake, and we take them fishing all day, giving them great Christian leadership and great fishing instruction. Learn more and sign up at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
The Home Depot is cooking up new ways to start summer here and bring summer home. From online ordering to free delivery and convenient store pickup, we're helping make sure taking care of your summer projects is a breeze. And summer savings on all your favorite brands make things even easier. So freshen up the deck, fire up the grill. Summer's here, and it's as close as your own backyard. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. The Home Depot is cooking up new ways to start summer here and bring summer home. From online ordering to free delivery and convenient store pickup, we're helping make sure taking care of your summer projects is a breeze. And summer savings on all your favorite brands make things even easier. So freshen up the deck, fire up the grill. Summer's here, and it's as close as your own backyard. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman Lukey, Sam is here, and I'm guessing one of our good friends, somebody we haven't had on the air for probably, I bet it's been close to a year. Uh-oh. Are you in an elevator, Scott? Scotty Merwin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I just heard a big ding like you were in an elevator or something.
Third floor.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing it, though.
Uh-oh. I will speak more clearly and slowly. You know, this happens sometimes. We've got new microphones and headphones and things, but every time this happens, I talk to people after the show. Like, my wife listens every Sunday. She said it sounds perfectly. So I'm not sure why that is, but I will speak slowly and clearly and hopefully.
Hey, Scotty, do you think it's – are they too loud? Are they, like, distorted?
Now you sound better.
I sound good. That's good to know.
Yeah, that was Brandon, our engineer, and he's going to try to figure this out. Scotty Merwin, how have you been? I haven't talked to you in quite some time.
I'm doing great. I'm out in South Dakota, hanging out with my wife's family up there. They're great people, and just doing the 4th of July thing.
Good for you. Good for you. And so are you busy? How has COVID affected your business like everybody else's? Are you back in the game and hitting it hard?
Well, actually, it's been busy, really busy. So, you know, I've had a few issues where I've had to head out of state for a couple funerals, but you know, Jeremy and me, it's been a lot of guy trips. We're just trying to keep up at this point. So.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Hey, Scott, Mark's got a question. Talk about the bluegills.
Marky. I got lots of questions. How you doing, Scott? It's Mark. Can you hear me, buddy?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So in Outdoor News, there was an article about they're kind of talking to people about reducing the limit of sunfish to 5 on a bunch of lakes to help rebuild the population. What are your thoughts on that? I know as a guide you typically catch and release, but do you think that 5 is a good number, or do you think it should be higher? What are your thoughts on that?
This is the way I see it. I can't eat more than 5 bluegills in one meal.
Well, you're a little guy.
But to get to your point, it's you know, I've seen it on different lakes that they've already done it on, and yeah, it's worked really well. Like, there's some crappie lakes that have really nice-sized crappies, and you can only keep 5, and it's nice to go out there and catch those big crappies and also take a meal home. So it kind of makes it fun and lets you take a limit home, you know, to where you're keeping those fish, you know, where they need to be. Now, for all lakes, I don't know. I've seen it. There's another one, too, in Wright County where the bluegills are big, but the crappies are small. That they did it on. So if that lake had big fish in it, it's going to reproduce those big fish if people let them get bigger. So I don't see any problem with it if you can take a meal home and catch a big one, you know. So bring it on.
I know there's been a movement over the last couple of years with avid anglers to throw back the big bulls. Do you think that has more of an impact, or do you think smaller limits?
I do think, you know, a lot of people, when they do go out on these lakes that are five fish limit, they're going to keep the bigger ones.
Right.
But, you know, all the fish get bigger. So you're catching a nice average of 8.5 to 9 inch fish, which are great eaters, you know, and then you'll get that big one here and there.
Can we compromise and can we make it maybe 8 or 9? Because I can eat 5 bluegills in one bite, I think.
Yeah, but if you take your boy with you, you can take 10.
Yeah.
And he can't eat 5.
Oh, he can eat, man.
Yeah. So. Hey, Scotty, you and I talked a little bit before the show tonight, and I have to ask you, this weather right now, not only is it hard to be a guide, I'm guessing, when it's 90 degrees in the boat, I don't care what kind of boat you're in, but how does this weather, 90 degrees for 4 or 5 days in a row, affect your fishing for a panfish, and how do you make an adjustment?
Well, I mean, we only guide 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours in the evening anyway. That's the best time to fish. That's your prime time. That's when it's comfortable, and so that's not going to change much. Now, what's going to happen is the walleyes are going to slow down, and you're just going to fish them less. You're going to fish them for that first hour of the day and then spend the next 3 hours on panfish, which the panfish bite is going to pick up and be amazing and crazy. So, and the pike bite this time of year. So you get to do something different. You know, a good angler follows whatever the bite is, you know. That way you're always successful.
Well, how about if I just go with a good angler like you, and you follow the bite, and I'll catch the fish? We've done that before.
Yeah, that's fine, too.
That's fine, too. Yeah.
And Minnesota has a lot of great anglers out there. I mean, a ton of them, you know.
Also, you're talking about, what is your technique right about now? How deep are you fishing, and has it changed from last year? Are you having a better year? How is the fishing 2020 as compared to 2019?
I would say everything was a little behind at first when we started out the season, and then all of a sudden we were way ahead, so everything happened real quick. You know, it got warm in a matter of like 9-10 days, and then our water temps just skyrocketed. And you know, that's when the bluegills start getting active. And you know what, I forgot where I was going with that.
That's all right. I just you take another sip, I'll keep on talking. No, just kidding. But we're talking with Scotty Merwin with Lake Osakis Guide Service, and I fished with him before, and he's the real deal. It's just I just think it's fun. You're a great guy. You know what you're doing, and it makes it the whole day a lot more fun. But you also like to give back and fish and volunteer your time with tournaments and those kind of things as well. What have you got coming up in the future?
Well, I wish I could win the lottery, so that's all I could do is take different organizations out. That would be a really fun job, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
You know, if I had it my way, that's all I'd do. You know, taking people out that don't get the opportunities to go out, or people that have never been out, is probably the best part of my job. So,
are there any
smiles is what it's all about.
Are there any fundraisers in the future for you or your wife?
Oh, for sure. You know, my wife does the Women Anglers in Minnesota. She's been running that for a while, and you know, there's a lot of women that are getting out there to learn to fish. And me sitting in the background watching these women become better anglers is pretty amazing. You know, I mean, you get to sit back and watch them post pictures. And first they're small and maybe a small bass. Next thing you know, they got a 15-inch walleye. A couple years later, they're holding a 29-inch walleye and a 14-inch crappie. You know, you just can't beat, you know, watching people grow as anglers.
I think you were telling me, you got something, Mark?
Oh, I just have a technical question for you, Scott. You fish with my son Nick, and panfish are, you know, 90% of what I fish for because it's fun and it's a little easier to get kids into and get them hooked on it. I just have a technical kind of question for you. We go out a lot of little local lakes, and occasionally we get into schools of really small ones, and I'm just trying to figure out how to either weed some of those out, or how to find the bigger ones? Is there always a couple big ones in a school of little bluegills, or is it best to move or use a different bait?
Well, I generally move, you know, and try not to use a different bait. If there's a bunch of small stunted ones, they're going to get to it before the big ones anyway. So they're a little bit faster and more aggressive.
Do similar sizes hang together then, do you think?
Yeah, there can be some big ones and the smaller ones, but not often. And if there are, they're harder to catch. So you want to move to find a bigger group. You know, move out a little bit deeper, move in a little bit shallower. Sometimes that helps when they're in big schools. You know, the big ones will be in front or behind school, things like that.
Hey, Scott, you you fish mostly panfish, I think. I know you guide walleyes as well, but have you followed the trend like a lot of the guides and experienced fisher persons have by using nothing but plastics, or are you still using live bait once in a while?
I use whatever they're biting on, so I carry live bait just in case, because some days you got to have it and some days you don't. Yeah. You know, live bait's a pain in the butt, and that's why most of the anglers now are using plastics, is because they don't want to deal with it. But there's days you need it.
All right, Scotty. I'll tell you what, this is Scotty Merwin again, Lake Osakis Guide Service. He's out of, that's near Alexandria, right? It's only not even 2 hours away, I don't think. Is it 2 hours?
Yeah, it's two hours.
Yeah, about
man.
2 hours.
Well, I'll tell you what,
this. 1:45.
Where do you like to guide? What are your hot spots? I mean, what parts of the state of Minnesota? Do you like to, are you staying right in the central part of Minnesota? Or are you coming south? Are you going north? What do you like?
Me and Jeremy cover from Sauk Center all the way to Alexandria. And that includes Osakis and all those lakes around there in the Long Prairie area, all the way up to Minnewaska. There's a lot of good lakes in there and a lot of fun fishing that people don't know about. And we're out there doing it.
You know, it's funny you're talking about a lot of good lakes around. I know there's so much water out there. And we talked to Tony Roach a couple of weeks ago, and I've shared this story before. But, you know, his guide service was shut down when the coronavirus thing and the social distancing. So he and his kid went 30 days in a row and fished lakes within 30 miles that he's never fished before, and they did well on every one of those lakes. There's so many lakes that people don't even realize, and they think because it's a smaller lake or it's closer to the city, it's not going to produce. That's not the truth, I guess.
No, it's not, and what I see anglers do is they follow other anglers instead of, you know, and that's a common way of fishing for years. You know, they go to the bait shop, or where's everybody going? You know, and once you get out of that box and start trying some of these smaller lakes, you realize that you're a lot better off.
All right. So I tell you what, Scotty, we're going to let you go. We're going to go to a break here pretty soon. Say hi to your wife, and I'm pulling for her. She's got a big tournament coming up. Last year was turned into a virtual tournament. Is that what it was called?
They used Fish Donkey. Yep.
Fish Donkey. Is that going to happen again this year? Do you know?
I think it's going on right now. And Kristen ran it last year, and one of the other women anglers in Minnesota is taking that over and running it for this year. So I hadn't been watching much of it, but, you know, from what I asked Kristen, they were doing really good with it. They're out there giving prizes away. And you can find that on the Women Anglers of Minnesota website.
All right, we can find that on WA, whatever it is, Women Anglers
Wham.
Of Minnesota. Yeah, Wham.
But yeah, how to WomenAnglersMN.com is what it is.
All right, and if some people want to do the same thing that I did with you and get a hold of you and have a good day, how do they go get a hold of Scotty Merwin?
LakeOsakisGuideService.com, or you can get us on Facebook, or my phone number is 612-203-1010.
You're a good man. Thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for giving back, and the same thing for your wife. Take care of yourself. Have a great, safe summer, and thanks for being on the show, buddy.
Yeah, you guys have a good night.
Yeah, get home safely, okay?
All right,
bye-bye. He's a good guy.
He's one of the only actual guides that I've fished with in my life, and, I just have a blast. It's so worth it, especially when you're with kids, to get on fish because they always know where the fish are, know what to use. It's just like with a full-time job and a lot going on, it's hard to really dial in what's happening, you know what I mean? And you only get a certain amount of time on the lake. So, man, he's taken me ice fishing before. We went up to Lake Osakis, and I caught some of the biggest panfish I've ever seen in my life.
You know, the only time I went fishing with him, no, I went ice fishing with him once as well. Boomer and I did some lake in the western suburbs, out by Medina or someplace like that. But,
Lake X.
Lake X, yeah. But anyway, so the time that he took me up to Lake Osakis with my buddy Bob Krejci and Dan Boris, and it was a very nice day. And Lake Osakis is not a big lake. I was surprised. It's not a monster lake. And everybody knows who Scott Merwin is, and I can't believe he brings the fish out of that lake that he does, because that's a fairly heavily fished lake.
Yeah.
And we started out for about the first hour, hour and 15 minutes, and not doing squat, really. Little things, nothing's happening, and we're all getting – we put spring bobbers on, and we're trying to fish real slow, and but they're taking our bait. They weren't hitting really aggressively, and people are all around us, because they know Scotty Merwin's boat. So Scott says, let me take those fishing rods. He took all the fishing rods, put them away, and gave us ice fishing rods. They're about, 3 feet, you know, real sensitive. Put the spring bobber on. And we're fishing out of a boat with ice fishing rods, and we slayed them.
That's the difference between going by yourself and just trying to figure it out and going with a guide, man. Like, if anybody who's, like, thinking about getting into fishing, I highly recommend it. But I definitely recommend going with a guide, because you don't want to sit out on the water and do nothing. You're going to hate that trip, and it's not going to be fun. But you go with a guide, they'll give you, like, the little tips and tricks that, you know, you never would have thought of, and it'll work.
Yeah. And people saw us. They drove by, and they're watching us with ice fishing rods, shaking their heads like,
thinking you're crazy.
Yeah, we're crazy. But I'll tell you what, it was a wonderful day, a great experience, but it was a lot of fun.
You know, they were shaking their heads, but they were out there the next day with ice rods.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Scotty had a little stand by the boat launch with ice fishing rods for sale and all that.
Did you try casting the ice rod? Like,
yeah. No.
Fishing
like Tim Conway and Dorf, the little guy with a fishing
Dorf on fishing.
I was gonna ask him too if people just like follow him, if he stays in a couple few lakes.
I guarantee they do. That's what when I went fishing with the Grizz, like you get a parade going by the end of the day, you know, when people start catching on that you're out there with a legend.
You think they ever, like, you know, lead him astray?
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
That was another thing that the Grizz had mentioned before, for sure. And Mark and Larry kind of talk about it too. You go to a spot that, you know, isn't the spot. Get people to follow you there, and then you just buzz out and go to where you really want
to
go.
We're going to Devil's Lake, I think, August 25th or something like that, the boys and I.
Ninth, right?
Sixth.
I don't know. It's not the 9th. No, it's not the 29th. No,
it's early.
I'm going to look it up.
We're going to go three different times, and and we decided, you know, instead of Mark hauling his boat out there and doing all, we said, let's split a guide. We're going to get a guide, a real guide, for the first time ever on Devil's Lake. That's 170,000 acres of water. And I don't care what kind of electronics you have, if you're only up there once a year, it's a tough gig.
Yeah, it'd be impossible to know the flow of the lake. It changes, you know. You got to be up to date.
We are going August 6th through the 8th.
Oh,
yep. Nice.
I would have been late.
Yeah.
I would have been late.
I knew we weren't going on August 25th. Cause that's my beautiful daughter's birthday.
Now you say that like you got an ugly daughter.
I have two gorgeous.
Almighty.
You've seen my wife.
Yeah, true.
You've seen my wife.
My beautiful daughter. They're the one, you know. That.
You know, Kirsten can't produce an ugly
beautiful
kid.
Family. Yeah, beautiful family.
Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, it's true. Jerko.
Hey, got a news story for you here. This guy just finished dinner at Mancini's Char House a couple of days ago. Was saying goodbye to people on the West 7th Street, 9 o'clock at night, when a Lexus pulls up. And looked like one, apparently, the cops thought was stolen someplace earlier in the evening. A young man got out of that car, pulled a gun, and demanded their cell phones of these guys, purses of the women, and the 81-year-old guy has a permit to carry. He pulled out his own gun. He figured, if they're going to rob me, I better be ready. He said, I just wasn't going to let it happen no matter what. The suspect ran after he saw the guy with his gun. The driver also sped away. That car crashed in Minneapolis that night. Two people were inside. They both got arrested. Isn't that cool?
So, hey,
81-year-old guy said, screw you guys. You aren't coming after
me.
And
he didn't even have to use the gun,
yeah,
correct?
Right.
Just having it was defused
the
situation.
Most times it hasn't actually.
It's pretty de-escalating.
Yeah, and that's the stat you never really hear of, as the crimes that don't happen because of a gun. I've been thinking about it a lot lately because, Sam, what you got going on. But I heard a quote somewhere the other day, and this really hit, was, I'd rather have a gun and not need one than need a gun and not have one.
There you go.
That's deep,
so,
right there, my
Sam,
man.
You do permit to carry classes, right?
I do indeed.
So why don't you talk about how you got into that and what's all involved in that situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Can I throw a little plug out there?
Of
I got
course
a couple
you can.
Classes coming up.
This is shameless plug central.
right.
We sell real estate minutes? For Strew, advertising for me.
Yeah.
All right.
Hope Church and Blaine.
Hope Church and Blaine.
Hope Church and Blaine.
We're all peddling something, otherwise we wouldn't do it.
So I got a couple used pair of roller skates I need to get rid of. Right. It's like up at the Boundary Waters. Like, someone needs a toaster, $10, call.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, permit carry classes. I've been doing it for, let's see, 9 years. 9 years I've been certified.
So you were 7 years old when you started?
Yeah. I was just turned seven. I was the biggest. Let's take a break and then we'll talk about
it. We don't have
to
do it now. You get mad when I cut you off. I'm never cutting you off,
no,
Sam.
No, let's take
the
it to break.
The floor is yours.
Let's take it to break and we'll come back. We'll talk.
Discuss. How about a little music?
Yeah.
Be right back with Sam, I guess. He's got some roller skates for sale.
Don't interrupt me, Brandon.
Never.
You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top five fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Strewman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota. 5 miles south of Bemidji is Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park, and it's all about families with 8 cabins and 30 campsites. Lake Plantagenet is the home of the Minnesota record 3-pound, 4-ounce perch and a gillnet survey with 19 walleyes per net, one of the very highest counts in the state. This place truly is a family dream. Find out why Balsam Beach Resort was awarded Resort of the Year in 2019. You can find their 2020 brochure at balsambeachresort.com, and we thank you.
You don't want to miss this. A 3-night, 6-person weekend stay at Bowers Resort for only $650. This deal won't last. So go to dealsonradio.com to take advantage of this limited time offer.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint, which means the paint you trust and a huge selection of colors are right in your neighborhood. And right now, when you buy a sample of Benjamin Moore paint, we'll give you $5 off your next paint purchase. So if you're looking for award-winning service and a new look for your home, look no further than Benjamin Moore paint at Ace. Offer valid on gallons of Benjamin Moore, Clark & Kensington, and Royal Paint. Limit one $5 coupon on 1 gallon purchase at participating Ace stores only. See store for additional details and exclusions.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Neil here, and I want to talk about getting your home zero-res clean. To say your home has been lived in these last few months is probably an understatement, right? Have you assessed the damage? Dirty, grimy carpet, food stains, pet accidents, dust buildup on furniture? Well, now's the perfect time to give your home a deep clean. Call today, 952-0-RES, or go online at zeroresminnesota.com and say you want the Bob FM special, 3 rooms pre-treated and cleaned for just $139. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Zero Res.
Total Country Bob FM.
Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Hey, Mark's got some shout-outs, then we get to Sam.
Yeah, Four Outdoorsmen shout-outs. I hope everyone had a great 4th of July weekend. If you want to be on the show and be famous like us, all you have to do is comment on the Four Outdoorsmen shout out post on Facebook, and we try to read them on air. Sometimes some come in late, but the earlier the better. But we have a couple regular listeners here, and thank you, everyone. Justin Zeiss says, enjoying Leech Lake for extended weekend. You should see that picture he posted of the lake. It's beautiful. And Jesse
Kaskanimi
says, baby turkey I saved from going through the hay baler. Hope the Four Outdoorsmen had a great weekend with family and friends. Bill Katz says, hurry, dinner's on. This year's catch. Wow, that looks delicious.
It did.
Chris Winkleman says, it's hot. Mayflies are wrapping up. Fishing is picking back up. People catching walleyes as shallow as 10 feet of water on top of the reefs. Thank you, Chris.
And that's up in Ely, Minnesota, where Chris is.
Yep. It is, yep. Ryan Anderson says, Sir Charlie with a LMB, that's largemouth bass. James Donnelly Jr. says, Espen Olson and I went down to Iowa and shot a bunch of guns. Had a great time. That sounds like fun. And America. Chris Davis says, watch the dogs go nuts. looking for fallen ducks. And that's pretty funny. I can imagine a bird dog going pretty crazy thinking that there's fallen birds anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a perfect segue for Brandon's doggy dog story.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, 4th of July yesterday started off. I don't. Well, Sam, we're going to get to yours is even more important than this. Let's just get this stupid story out of the way.
No, I'm here for you, baby.
Well, it started yesterday morning. I was looking at Facebook, and one of the first things I saw was a story about that the 4th of July is the day of the year that most pets go missing. And I didn't think much of it at the time. But then, you know, just a few short hours later, I find out that our dog, who is actually my grandma and grandpa's dog, both of them are in long-term care now. So my brother has become the dog's legal guardian.
Dog father?
The dog father. And,
brilliant.
But my dad took the dog. So the dog was actually under my dad's watch. But we all were, you know, going up to the cabin for the 4th of July, just outside of Annandale on French Lake. And my dad got there. As soon as he got out of the car, he brought the cooler into the cabin. Within that time, the dog, our neighbors, who is actually my cousin's cabin, they said that it was as a result of a firework going off. There was a big bang, and the dog just darted and took off and didn't come back and started a huge effort, you know, to look for him. Had the whole lake, did the whole rounds, talked to everybody, spread the word, but the dog was nowhere to be found. Everybody's panicking, going to, like, worst-case scenarios. My dad thinks it was hit by a car. He's up looking in the ditches off County Road 37. My brother thinks someone stole him because he is a really cute dog, a really friendly dog, too. And it's a little dog, like a rat terrier chihuahua mix, friendly. You know, I mean, if it's a big dog that's missing, most people don't even want to mess with that. So they'll just let it roam around in the yard. But you see a little dog, you're like, oh, I feel, you know, it's so bad for
Brandon. I see a little dog, I think musky. I think musky.
That's what Drew thinks. Yeah. That's where he goes. Yeah. But so everybody's going to all these worst case scenarios. And I was telling him, I'm like, look, there's. On the way out here, I saw nothing but, like, rabbits and squirrels and little woodland creatures all over the place. I was like, he's just out tearing around after him. It's like Disneyland for a dog. I was like, just give it. I think there is a great chance he'll just come back eventually. And but it was all day he was gone. We did our fireworks thing. We did the best we could with celebrating right. Independence Day, because we're not going to let a little dog business mess up our America.
America. And so, he was being independent, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. And, I got to
support
that.
Because he's free.
Yeah, and I support free speech and independence. So go ahead, Reno. That's his name, Reno.
Cool.
But,
cool
name. So we rocked off the fireworks, did the whole thing. I ended up having to leave because I had to work the next morning. So I took off probably like 10:30, 11, somewhere around there. But then, shortly after midnight, probably around like 12:20, 12:30, my brother calls me and is like, we found him. Like, he came back. And I got the kind of the pleasure of being like,
there you go.
Told you so.
Did he look hungover?
Yeah. He did. He had a little fun. You could tell.
Yeah, he was
a little full. Lipstick on his
neck. But it was sad. It was a kind of a rough 4th of July of that. On my whole drive home, I was thinking about poor little Reno just running around lost in the woods.
Yeah, and Reno shows up smoking a cigarette.
He looked like he had a good
time.
Well,
good for you. That's good news.
It was
an
adventurous. And then a little side note to that story, though, my grandparents who are in long-term care, my grandma did have the COVID, but I say did as she did recover from it. She's like 80 something, she is now testing negative and stuff.
Good.
So, again, not quite the death sentence it's been sold as.
Attaboy.
In my opinion.
Conspiracy. Yeah, I'll tell you what, we got a guest coming up right now. Our next guest is Sam Offidal, and Sam is a guy who has a concealed a carry class. Sam, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsman.
It's true, I can barely hear you.
Touche.
All right, tell the story, Sam.
Yeah, so back to before the break and Brandon's story and then the shout-outs. I've been teaching the permit to carry class for 8 or 9 years. I'm thinking it's 9 years. And I did it, 6-7 years ago. I was, like, doing it crazy. Did it all the time, made a lot of money doing that's how I kind of lived. And I haven't done a class in the past maybe year, 18 months, and then with all this COVID stuff I had a lot of people calling me like, hey, you ever gonna do a class? And so I put something out on Facebook, and I think in the past month I've trained 88-90 people.
Wow.
And I have another class on Wednesday. I'm gonna do them every Wednesday. I charge $60.
It's cheap. It's way too cheap.
It's cheap, and I provide the ammo too. I provide the gun to shoot, the ammo, the material. I would rather have a lot of patriots out there with good guys with guns.
Good call.
And then the bad guys with guns, So $60. I do it every Wednesday. So anyone needs it, you can reach out to me on Facebook.
What's the class? What's it look like? What do you do in the deal?
Yeah, so I have like a slideshow I go through. I go over safety, ethics, laws. You know, what to do when you walk down that dark alley. Yeah. So I go over all that, and then we go to the range. We do the shooting qualification, and then I do the old left handshake, hand you the certificate, and then you go apply for your permit. But, yeah, I cover all the main laws for carrying a firearm.
I imagine it must be about a two-hour class at least.
Yeah, it ranges. You know, it ranges. If I have a lot of renewals, I'll kind of speed it up a little bit and go over what they need to know and stuff. But, yeah, you know. Few hours.
Well, let me put you on the spot a few times.
Come on with it.
Maybe what are some common misconceptions, like some states have a castle doctrine or anything like that, standard ground laws. What are the laws like in Minnesota, for instance? Is someone breaks into my house, am I allowed to shoot them?
So the justified taking a life in the Minnesota statute .609.095. It has to be a commission of a felony. Someone has to break and enter plus another crime. So usually, you know, it's 2020. People aren't breaking in to steal your TV because you can get them for $200 now. So back in the day, people, you know, back through when you were a young kid, people were, you know, broke in. They were stealing, you know.
VCRs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But now no one's doing that. So if someone's breaking into your house, it's usually for something a little bit more hefty. Now, on that note, you know, make sure that windows and doors are locked because it's got to be breaking and entering.
Right.
So if,
but you said it has to be have some on top of that.
Right. So but you don't have to wait for that.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a little gray area and it is being voted on actually right now that to have a Minnesota stand your ground in your property. So there's no question, but
Include your lawn or is that just inside your residence?
It's to the lawn, to your property. So here's the deal. Like, I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pretend to be one on TV or radio. But what I would do is if someone broke into my house, I am going to do whatever it takes to defend my family, and I am not going to wait for them to do anything else. Now, that being said.
And take your chances when it's over. You're right. I think you're right.
Have your day in court.
Exactly. Because if someone knocks on the – now, that being said, if someone knocks on the door at midnight, I'm not going to take a 12-gauge through the door. You know, I'm going to
– birdshot, bam.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to, you know, probably handle that a little differently. But if someone breaks into my house, I mean,
yeah,
it's not going to be fun for either of us.
If you're doing a couple-hour class, you have to have some guidelines that you have to do according to the government,
yes,
right?
Yep,
there's specifics
yep.
you have to teach them.
Correct.
In order to, there are
yep.
steps.
Ethics, safety, they have to pass a shooting qualification on what I, you know, judge as qualified. So
triggered discipline. Did you see that couple in St. Louis?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and what about her?
Oh,
she
yeah.
showed
that was
zero
trigger discipline.
Yeah,
zero trigger discipline in horrible form.
Yeah.
She was gonna fire that gun, it was gonna hit her in the face.
Crazy.
I totally agree with their right to defend themselves in mm-hmm. any way, shape, or form. But yeah, she had her finger on the trigger and she was waving it around the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I would have failed.
Get trained by someone like
yep.
Sam
yep.
Yeah.
on trigger discipline and the right thing to do. I mean, they could have probably sat on their porch, you know, and brandished.
Again,
and
just holding them, just, you know, yeah. right. showing, like, there are guns here.
Yeah. It's funny, too, when I teach the class, like, too, I talk about that. You know, we're going to treat every gun as if it were loaded. We're going to keep our finger off the trigger until we're ready to use it, right? And everyone always like, oh, yeah, of course. And then I hand them that firearm at the range, and they instantly go in there. Yeah. And it's a big thing I talk about in the class is muscle memory. Because we've all shot animals, right? We don't feel the recoil. We don't hear the sound. We lose track of time. Imagine if someone's trying to kill you and you have to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that we can retain in that situation is gross motor skills, which is known as muscle memory. And how many times do you have to do something, Stu, to get a good golf swing?
I haven't found that on. I don't have that answer yet.
And you're at 5,000 swings.
All of that.
So you got to do something 1,500 times, you know, to get that muscle memory. Same with a firearm. I stress it more than enough just like – If I am a new, let's say Mark has never carried a firearm, he decides to come and take the class and start carrying after he gets his permit. I would never want him to pull the gun out of the holster the first time he's being attacked. So if you mm-hmm. have to practice sitting in front of the mirror, pulling it out of the holster, pulling it out of the purse if you're a female, you better be pretty dang good at it.
You talking to me?
Yeah. You talking to me? Now, I'm not saying tuck and roll out of your bathroom or anything mm-hmm. in your underwear, which I do on occasion.
He'd be like Paul Blart, the mall cop.
Yeah, but I'm saying you have to, the muscle memory is the only thing that you're going to retain right. in that situation.
Go ahead, Mark. I got a muscle memory story, but go ahead.
I just have some more detailed questions about common misnomers. So it is my understanding, please tell me if I'm wrong, you're the expert, people kind of wrongly call it a concealed carry permit because in Minnesota you do not have to conceal, correct?
That's 100% correct. It is not a conceal and carry permit. It is a permit to carry a pistol.
Yep.
So you can open, you can carry it openly, which you can do whatever you want. I don't. Yeah. You can carry concealed and with that permit. So that's people always say conceal and carry. I don't really correct them. You know, it's right. fine. But it is technically it is a permit to carry a pistol. Next question.
Now, you go to a lot of places and it says guns are not allowed on these premises. And I'm sure you deal with that quite a bit. Is it legal, illegal? Is it just respectful to abide by them? Or would you carry concealed in such an establishment?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but gun-free zones work.
Get him.
So, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not, you don't take what I say, you know, to court. But
right.
So to be a properly posted building, it has to be 187 square inches. It has to be a high contrast color such as white is yellow. It has to be Arial font, 1.5 inches tall, lettering 4 to 6 feet off the ground on every entrance and exit to be a properly posted building.
Okay.
95% of them are not.
Okay.
So if let's say I'm concealed and carry, I'm going to buy some shorts. I go in and let's say they see my firearm.
Because your pants are down.
Yeah. Either they're checking me out or they're looking at my gun.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the first one and say, how you doing? But no, I'm going to, if they see it, they have to ask me to leave. I can be like, I can say, oh, yes, I'll leave. Can I come back in? I won't bring it in. What if I said, you know, buzz off, chump? You know, it's free world. They will call the cops. They'll take their sweet time getting there and you'll get a $25 fine and it's a petty misdemeanor, same as a parking ticket.
And you probably won't get your shorts, though, from Walmart or wherever it is.
No, but I wouldn't want to give them my business anyway.
Fair enough.
So it's worth the $25. It's worth the petty misdemeanor to me because gun-free zones, I hope everyone's sitting down at home, they don't work.
They don't work. I always like the it's easier to ask for forgiveness than to get permission anyway. So, yeah, I just go with it.
I think I'd be okay with your class. I'd be good with the discipline. I'm pretty good with a firearm. I think I'd have trouble with ethics. I'm not good.
You'd probably have hard time sitting still for a couple hours.
I'm not that good at that kind of stuff. Yeah.
What's your other questions? I love this. Keep going.
Oh, let me think. Sure, you
got
one?
I was going to tell you, talk about the muscle memory. Hey, the first time I went skydiving, I've done it 4 times. I was down in someplace southern Minnesota. We had to go down 3 times before we could skydive. We got 3 minutes left. Three times before we could skydive because the wind was too strong. And when you're jumping out of the airplane the first time, they wanted as calm as possible. And they taught you go through all of these different, you know, okay, here's what happens. You know, you do this, you cross your arms, you arch your back, you do this, you pull the ripcord. And then they tell you what happens if the main chute does not open. You are programmed to pull the safety chute, whatever the heck it is. And you go through this. They stand in front of a guy for half an hour doing all these things. Left arm, right arm, arch your back, do. And if your chute doesn't open, you pull the rip, right? You release this, that kind of crap. So anyway, one guy who was jumping, not in my group, but he was there, that he jumped, the chute opened up perfectly, but he was so programmed to keep doing this, he released his chute. No, the first one. The first one opened up, and he's floating down, but he released it, and then opened up his safety chute. I mean, he's just doing all the steps, you know. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, they tell you. Because when the chute doesn't open up the first time, it's going to be like a Mae West. It's all tangled up. You've got to release it before you open up your reserve. Him, he just kept doing it, released a good chute, and then opened up a reserve. And the guy down on the ground was going, holy moly, you got to be kidding me. That was muscle memory, I guess.
Yeah, it's honestly very important. Because like I said, you know, people don't think about that. When I say train for stress, they look at me like, oh, okay, what is this, some tactical guy? No, if 3 guys are coming to kick your butt, you really want it to be the first time you pull that firearm out of your holster that time? No, you don't. You practice. We're talking about practice.
Where do you teach your classes?
We're talking about practice.
So in Andover, right now I'm actually using my wonderful brother and sister-in-law's. It's COVID. You know, I'm doing it outside. BYO chair. You know, bring your own chair. And then we go do the shooting qualification at my land. So, you know, it's 15 minutes from there. But, yeah,
My son Mike's got to do it.
Send him my way. And if anyone wants to do it, you can reach out to me on Facebook. Maybe we'll put something on the page or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah,
I get 15% though.
That's fine. You can have it. I doing it pretty much every Wednesday right now, just because it's the demand is hot. And like I said, I'm not doing this. You know, I'm giving it a good price because I'd rather have a lot more good guys with guns. And also too, just because, you know, you take this class doesn't mean that you're, you know, a competition shooter. I can go buy a guitar, but it doesn't make me a musician. And so if you do this. Like I said, practice, practice, practice. I'm all fired up right now.
I like these conversations.
Hey, you spoke. Got a couple of seconds. We're ready to wrap it up. All right. You said the name Andover. That's where you live, yeah. I guess. And by coincidence, I talked to a guy today named Brian Butcher because I was following. I just saw a photo of him and a story about him. He shot a 67-point buck in Kansas City. Or Kansas. I think it's Kansas. So it was Andover, Kansas. I don't know. I said Andover. Really? So I called the guy. It's Andover, Kansas.
Oh. Okay, can you get you on the show? Yeah, different yeah. Andover.
No, but he's going to be – he won't be in studio, but he's going to be on in a couple of weeks. That Good was kind deal. Of a fun phone call. Yeah. A lot of fun, boy. I tell you what, thanks. That was fun sharing, pal.
Hey, I love it.
So next week, maybe I get to talk about me?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right.
We get 2 hours.
Four Outdoorsman is checking out of here. Stru Man, Randy behind the glass, Sam, and watch this. Mark's going to tell you guys something about his life.
Get outside and make some memories.
There you go.
Enthusiasm. God bless America.
There you go.